This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Hey, my name is Zach, and I'm just one of the pastors here, and I have the privilege of opening up God's Word. Now, I know you're looking at the clock and you're getting nervous, and I just want to let you know I'll be very brief today. I don't have a full message. I'm just here to speak for a few minutes from John chapter 15. As I said, my name's Zach, and it's been a privilege, really, to sit through this service and to see what God's been doing in our midst over this last year. And it's particularly interesting to see that because it's actually been a year of transition for our church. If you're new with us, today's going to be a great opportunity for you to hear a little bit about what God's done this past year, but what He will be doing in the future. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to talk about what's ahead for our church. We've spent a year as an interim leadership team of three pastors along with the elders leading our church after sending out our senior pastor, Craig Hasselbach, out to be a missionary. And instead of just jumping right into finding a replacement for Craig Hasselbach, we actually as a church decided we're going to pause. We're going to wait for just a year. And so we took a year, and if you remember, if you were at last year's annual business meeting, our vision for last year was that we would spend 1 year strategically waiting on our knees in prayer. And we've done that, and God's been working throughout that year, but now the question remains, what's next? What's for us? I've been asked from all the elders to be a mouthpiece today for a vision for our next year. And that's why I'm going to be a little more glued to my notes, because I want to make sure that this mouthpiece reflects all of the elders this morning. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sounds a little bit presumptuous to talk about what's ahead for the next year, because in about 50 minutes, we're going to be voting on the future leadership of this church as members. Now, why even talk about the future? Why bother? After many weeks of prayer, in fact, the elders have been praying every single day at 5 o'clock, my phone blows up with reminders that we should pray. For weeks, we've been praying, and we feel God has laid this on our heart, that this vision or theme or direction just for our church for 1 year would be good for any church. But particularly for our church in this year, we believe that bringing us back to Jesus is a helpful theme and vision for our church. I want us to hear this and receive this as a good thing, a God-honoring thing for us this year. So what's next? Where are we going this year? I want to begin today by asking you a personal question. You have to use your imagination a little bit, but I want you to imagine right now, your phone starts ringing, and you get the call from the doctor. And the doctor says, I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but I need to be honest with you. You have less than 3 days to live. You really do. It's for certain. Your kidneys are failing. It's going to happen. You are going to die in 3 days. Now imagine with me in this scenario that you have the opportunity to meet with your closest friends and family. You gather them together. And you had 3 days to live. What would you say? What would you say? Now, I know there would be a lot of tears. I'm sure there'd be a lot of hugs. You would tell them how much you love them. You would share memories. But what I'm asking this morning is, what words would you impart to the people closest to you? What advice, what last legacy would you leave with your closest friends and family? What would you say? Death has this funny way of focusing our lives on what is actually most important, doesn't it? It really does. In fact, you could even say that considering our own death brings about considerable clarity on our lives, reveals what's important, what we should focus on. And today we have a unique opportunity because we're going to get to listen in on the last words of a man who knows without a shadow of a doubt he's going to die. And I want to invite you into this room that took place a few thousand years ago. And this man sat with a dozen of his closest companions. He had spent years living and walking and teaching with them, and he knows without a shadow of a doubt he is going to die. What would he say? What would God say to the people he loved if he knew he was going to die? That's an interesting question. We get to see. Join with me. Pretend you're on the edge of this room and you're a wallflower. I want you to lean in and listen to the conversation. Here are the last words of a man who knows he's going to die. It's in John 15. Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The final words of a man who's on death row. He gives a metaphor. Jesus often spoke in metaphors. He speaks of a metaphor that would have been familiar to his disciples, a vineyard. I mean, that makes sense. In an agricultural society, they would have seen a lot of vineyards. And in his final words, he speaks about how the disciples should live their lives. What does he call them to do? He says, you should be fruitful. Fruitful. Bear fruit. Be fruitful. I want to ask the question this morning, how can we have fruitful lives? How can we do things in our life that matter most, that make a difference, that bear fruit? Now, we use that term all the time, right? You might have had a meeting with a coworker and you get back and your boss asks, you know, how was your time with them? Was it fruitful? Or you might have had a big project that you worked on for a few weeks and someone asks you, hey, was it a fruitful time as you worked on that project? We use this term all the time, fruitful. I want to ask the question for ourselves, how can we be fruitful? Jesus gives a metaphor of a vineyard. And I want to play a scenario here again. If you and I went on a joint venture and we owned a vineyard, what would you and I be all about? Grapes. Grapes. We want grapes. That's the point of owning a vineyard. If we move out to Napa Valley, we would hope that we would have a couple things. One, that we would have lots and lots of grapes. We'd want a great yield from the crop, wouldn't we? But we wouldn't just want lots of grapes, because if you grab those grapes a little too early and they're unripened, they might be many grapes, but they're small and sour and immature. So we don't want just quantity, we want quality. And in this metaphor, this is what Jesus is speaking about. He's saying the fruit is making disciples, not just many disciples, but disciples that are maturing in Christ. That's why Paul in Galatians 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Character attributes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So we want lots of fruit. Disciples and mature disciples. If we are going to live fruitful lives, I think we need two things to be crystal clear in our minds. So here's all we're doing today. We need to first clarify our role, and then we need to clarify our responsibility. Clarify our role and clarify our responsibility. Jesus does this. Take a look. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus spends a lot of time, and you heard it as I read it, repeating himself. I am the vine. You are the branches. You are the branches. I am the vine. Me, vine. You, branch. No, no, no. Not vine. Branch. That's who you are. I'm the vine. Why does he spend so much time over and over and over? I mean, he identifies three different roles here. First, he shows that the Father is the vine dresser. The Father's the vine dresser. No one else is the vine dresser, just the Father. Then he wants to clarify, look, I am the true vine. I'm Jesus, I'm the vine, I'm vine. Me, vine. You, no. You're branch. And then he says again, over and over, I'm just giving you a snapshot. You are the branches. You are the branches. Branch, branch, branch. You, you, branch, branch. Jesus, vine. Why? Why? Why the repetition? Why does he spend so much time? I think Jesus knows something. He knows that we need to have crystal clarity about our role. And do you know why? Branches make terrible vine dressers. They really do. You know what else? Branches also make terrible vines. Now, I know this might be hard for us to see, so I've got a picture because we're not all farmers here. Look, imagine you're in Napa Valley. Here's a wonderful vineyard. You can almost imagine the vine dresser. His job is walking up and down these rows, and he's tending, he's pruning, he's shaping this vineyard so that it produces a lot of fruit. He's caring for it, nourishing it. But that's the vine dresser's role. And then right here, this thick branch that goes, or this thick barky part that actually goes down into the ground, that's not the branch, that's the vine. That's the vine. Only the vine's connected to the soil. Branches can't connect to the soil. They don't have roots. They don't even have the means of drawing up nutrients or water or anything to help the plant grow. That's the vine. And you and me, we're branches. We're the leafy green parts that are only connected to the vine, but we can't connect to the ground. You see, branches make terrible vine dressers. We can't do that very well, can we? Maybe you know a branch who's tried to be a vine dresser in your life. Maybe you're the branch that's been the vine dresser. I don't know. Let's see if this sounds familiar. They're always pruning people around their lives, right? Sort of critical, making sure they're shaped in the perfect direction. They're a little bit of a micromanager. This is branches trying to be vine dressers. They're not very good at it. No. Maybe you know a branch who's tried to be a vine, right? That person who thinks that they're the source of all things good, they're the sap and the nourishment for the rest of the plant. They've got a savior complex. They wear a t-shirt with a Superman logo underneath just in case someone needs rescuing, right? Branch. No, I'm a vine. Nope. Nope. You're not a vine. I heard someone say this once. It was helpful to me. They said, there's only one savior of the world, and it's not you. Branches make bad vine dressers, and branches make bad vines. Jesus wants to clarify our role. It's critical. In church, as we move forward as a church, we need to have clarity about our roles. So we long this year to bring about clarity. We want to know with crystal clarity, what's the role of an elder? What's the role of a deacon? What is the role of a staff member? We're already working with our staff right now to have new, clear job descriptions with helpful lines about how we can shepherd this church well. But we don't want just that for the leadership. We actually want it for you too. We want to clarify, what does it mean to belong to LifePoint Church? What does it mean for people that stood up today and said, I'm a member? What does that mean? We want to have crystal clarity on that. And we also want to clarify as a church, what is the process to become a disciple? So if you show up off the street and you've never even heard the name Jesus, what's the process for that person to go from never hearing about Jesus to a few years down the road being so like Jesus that people say, oh, that person reminds me of the kindness and love of Jesus? That's a process. And we want to clarify it. We need to have crystal clarity on our roles. You see, and the reason is the stakes are high because we've got to produce fruit. And if our branches try to be vine dressers or vines try to be branches or we mix up our roles, we will never produce much fruit. That's the first step. And the last step is this. First, clarify our role. And finally, we need to clarify our responsibility. Look at the text with me, starting in verse 3. This is chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus says, look, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. See, he says, I've justified you by the cross and the gospel. Don't worry about that. But here's your next step, disciples. Here's your next step. He spends three verses, and not a single imperative in this entire text until verse 4. All these other set up verses, and then finally he punches you three times in the nose with an imperative. This is a command. This is what to do. He says it in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it, what? Abides in me. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus wants to clarify our response. And he gives us one task. Abide. Now, that's not a word we use every week. You probably didn't use the word abide with your friend. Okay? You weren't texting abide. All right? You're texting something else, right? Abide simply means to stay or to remain. It's this deep, everlasting attachment, faithfully bound to someone. This is what Jesus is saying when he says abide. Now, I had a good friend in high school. Did anybody else have a good friend in high school? You can raise your hand if you had a friend in high school. And maybe there's a chance that you're still friends with that friend from high school. But I'm guessing, if you're honest and you raise your hand, there's quite a few friends you had in high school that maybe you're not friends with anymore. Why is that? Maybe you're like me. I had a good friend. We used to talk every single day. I mean, every day. We walked to school, we spent Saturday and Sunday together every single day. Do you know, we're still good friends now, but we talk once or twice a year. That's just life. We've moved apart. Those things happened. I would say that in high school, my relationship with this friend was like abiding. Daily communion with him. But as the years have gone by, as my connection has weakened, the abiding isn't there as much. And it's the same way with God. What's your relationship with God like? Is God your old high school friend? Maybe you were close at one point. You've sort of drifted. Yeah, you pray when, like, you need something every once in a while. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, I want you grafted into the vine. I want you abiding moment by moment, day by day in me, such that my nourishment from the soil and the water can get into your veins. That's abiding. Church, that's why this year we long to be a church that's marked by prayer once again. And we're going to continue. We've got four seasons of prayer that are coming up, and I won't go into those right now, but be looking forward to those. We want to press into God in prayer because we believe it is the best means for us to abide in Him. Now, briefly, Jesus says something weird in verse 7. Check this out. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, check this, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What? What is he saying? Is he some sort of genie in the bottle? Rub the lamp, right? Three wishes, I want a new car. He says anything. It's right there. It's in the Bible. What does Jesus mean? E. Stanley Jones has this helpful quote about what it means to abide in prayer. He says this, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God in cooperation with that will. Listen to this word picture that he gives. I love this. Imagine this in your minds. He says, if I throw a boat hook from my boat, and I catch hold of the shore, and I pull, do I pull the shore to me? Or do I pull myself to the shore? You see, he says, prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. That's prayer. That's abiding. And Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, if you abide, because he knows people that abide in Jesus don't pray for yachts and more money. They pray for things that Jesus cares about, things that matter. And as we abide in him, church, this year, my prayer for us as a church is that our prayer requests would change. We would stop praying for things we want and we'd start saying, God, what do you want? Shape me, conform me to you. This is abiding prayer. Look, in case you've missed it, Jesus summarizes it again. And he uses a lot of repetition. Look at this whole talk that I've given in verse 5. Verse 5. He says what? I am the vine and you are the branches. What is he doing again? That's clarifying our role. Clarify our role. Then he says again, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He wants to clarify our responsibility. What's our job? Abide in him. That's our job. That's it. But then he finishes with a statement that I don't know about you, but it just punches me in the gut. Destroys my pride. What do you mean, Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing? I do lots of things. And sometimes I even do them without you. I mean, what about people that don't follow Jesus? They do tons of things. Lots of things. They are busy. This is America. We're working 60, 70-hour work weeks. We are busy. We're doing things. What does he mean? Jesus says, hey, you can be busy. You can spend your life chasing after whatever you want, doing all kinds of things, thinking you're so important. But he says, look, if you don't abide in me, anything you do in the long run, it won't matter. I mean, it might make a difference for 10 years, 50 years, if you have a great legacy. Is anyone going to remember you 1,000 years from now? No, they're not. They won't remember how much money you made. They won't remember what kind of car you drove. All of your trophies will turn to dust. Jesus says, you want to do something that matters, abide in me. I began by asking you the question, what would you say if you had 3 days to live to your closest friends? What would you say? Can I just get personal? Here's maybe what I would say. I don't know. I don't have terminal cancer right now. But if I knew I had 3 days to live, I might say something like this to my closest friends and family. I might bring them in close after a lot of tears and hugs and sharing. And I might say this, look, here's my advice to you. Don't waste your life on things that don't matter. It's too short. It's too trivial, the stuff you're chasing. Just don't waste your life on what doesn't matter. Look, Jesus will reign as the King and Supreme God of the universe for eternity. And what you do abiding in Him will actually matter past this life. But what you do for yourself on this earth, it will be forgotten. We are dust and we will return to dust. So church, I'm calling us. Let's make this year count. Let's make it count. And I can't think of anything else I would want to do as a church than abide in Jesus. That's the one thing. The one thing. And this is my call from the elders to us today. Let's, church, abide in Jesus this year and make a difference that changes the world for eternity. Let's pray together. Jesus, I'm so thankful that we get to see your words at a moment before you die. That they were recorded for us and that John can share with us through his gospel. That you loved us so much that you wanted to point us away from stuff that doesn't matter. And you just gave us one simple task. You said, look, abide in me. I'm the source of life. I'm the source of salvation. Anything else you try and graft your branch to, it's just not going to last. So Jesus, I'm longing for our church this year. I don't want to waste another year. It's too short. And there's too much to do. There's so much fruit to be harvested. So Lord, would you use us as a church mightily this year, not to do activity for you, but to simply abide in you and to watch you move and work for your glory and for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.